But thank you, worship team. Let's give it up for the worship team. Yeah. And thanks Annika, for pulling together such a great group of people. It's fantastic. Great leadership. It's awesome. So thank you also, Jacob, for saying that we have plenty of time tonight and space. It's good. So I'm sorry, Yeba. This one probably will go for an hour and a half. No, it's nice. It's nice to be sitting in church during summer, and there's plenty of time for summer holiday. And I'm a big believer that Christians can go to church on their summer holidays. You know, church is a place where Christians do tend to hang out. So it's wonderful to be able to spend a Sunday night with you guys. And yeah, that's good. Let's get into some scripture. I've got the same verse in two different translations. Just because I'm a gangster like that, you know, I like to roll a few translations deep. I don't know why I said that. I don't know where that came from. But the title of my message tonight is Some More Good News. Last time I preached in the evening service, I preached a sermon called Gooder Than Good. I didn't intend on doing a series. I'm not saying I'm launching out into a series, but there's just a little bit of a theme coming through about good. But tonight we're going to talk about some more good news. And the text I have is a very famous one from the book of Romans, chapter 8, verses 28. You probably know it. It says, "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purposes for them." I love this scripture, and without nerding out and talking about the exegetical context and all that kind of stuff, I love this verse because you can pick it out and you don't even have to exegete it that deep. Like, it literally, that is the moment in scripture where Paul is pulling together a big thought and he's saying, everything's going to work together for our good. That's literally what this scripture means. Let's see what the Amplified version says. It says, "And we know with great confidence," there's a bit of emphasis for you, "with great confidence that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together as a plan for good for those who love God." God, what accent is that? "Those who love God, to those who are called according to his plan and purpose." There is a lot of good news in that. Let's pray. God, I thank you for this word, and I know you can use anything, and we just ask that you would use this message tonight to help us continue to peel back the layers on how we see you and who we are and what you want to do in our life. So use these next few moments, Holy Spirit, I pray, to just work your way into our hearts, challenge us where we need to be challenged, encourage us where we need some life-giving words, and out of this, you would continue to make us more like the way you want us to be, just like Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, some more good news. I like the fact that this is a church. If you're here for the first time, by the way, welcome. And this is, you'll be pleased to know that this is a church that is about the good news of the gospel. That's a relief, isn't it? We are about the good news. What is the good news? Basically, I mean, we could talk for a long time about this, but basically, the good news is the undeserved opportunity we have to receive the grace of God and create eternal reconciliation for our soul, reuniting us with the Father. That's the good news. Completely undeserved. That the Creator of the universe has made a way for us in our sin and our brokenness to be reunited with him and start an everlasting journey in relationship with him. Wow, that's good news. That's the good news. That's the gospel. We can be saved by the grace of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. It was good news when it happened. It still is good news today. And it will never stop being the good news. That's why we call it the Great. Just making sure that we're here. If we discovered nothing else ever in life, that news would very much still be good enough. That there is a Father in heaven who loves us unconditionally, who wants us to be in relationship with him and live forever with him. That is good enough. But I have some more good news. The good news is so good that it keeps being good news. Yeah, it's gooder than good. And there is still some more good news. Yes, we will be with him for eternity. Yes, he will be with us. But the good news is so good that God wants to bring his goodness into our life and make us good so we can participate in his goodness now. That's why this is some more good news. Because everything we know and everything we experience about God isn't just for eternity. It is very much about today as well. God is so good that he has our eternity covered, but he would never do that without making sure that his goodness is available to us today. I'll explain. Because God is good, he works good into our life so that good can happen in our life and good can come through our life. Salvation and being in relationship with God isn't about surviving until we can make it to the fire exit. If we can just hold on long enough, if we can just survive, if we can just hold on and suffer and get through it, I know that there is an eternal glory waiting for me. Yeah, that's true. But that's actually not the goodest part of the good news. The good part of the good news is that it is good and it has a good impact on my life. God is so good that he wants to assure my future, but he wants to make it clear that anything that is not good in my life, anything that is broken in my life, anything that needs to be fixed or transformed in my life, that also can come under his goodness. That's why every day, yesterday could have been good, but there is some more good news available for us today. I just want to encourage us today. I just want to stir your faith. If you've experienced the good news, if you've experienced the goodness of God, there is still some more good news for you today. Point number one. I'll just exposit this scripture that we talked about at the beginning. Point number one. It's good news because all things work together. As I read out in that scripture, and we know with great confidence, the Amplified says, that God, who is deeply concerned about us, causes all things to work together. Meaning, everything in your life, everything that happens, all plays a bigger, it all plays a small part in God's bigger plan. Everything. Everything that you feel, everything that you see, everything that you live through, everything that you experience actually plays a part, and God uses that as a part of his bigger plan. Whether it's a part you've enjoyed or whether it's a part that you have not enjoyed, it's still all a part of his plan. It still all works together. I had a good childhood, but at times it was slightly traumatic, simply because in a lot of ways I just don't fit into my family. Both of my parents are introverts. My mum, Kerry Bagnall, God bless her, she's such a wonderful woman. She was a very thorough woman. She took every responsibility very serious. She was very thorough, always very prepared, always very on the details, but also quite introverted. My dad, Greg Bagnall, great craftsman, handyman, builder, so good with his hands. I did not inherit a drop of that. But also a man who would just love to be at home, potter around the home, build a new project. Every time I go to Australia, there is a new extension on the house or a caravan or something that he's worked on. I just did not fit into my family because really I'm an extrovert. So I was always too, surprise, surprise, I was always too loud or I was always too social. My parents, when I was a teenager, they're like, Joel, don't you just want to spend one night at home with your family? I was like, no. I mean, I love you guys, but it's so much more exciting to be out with my friends and being social. I remember being shushed at cafes and restaurants at parties from my parents. Shh, you're talking too loud. Use your inside voice. You know, there was always this notion in my family, Joel, calm down, don't talk too loud, don't tell that story again. Joel, you're bothering that person. Joel, just go over into the corner and be like, it's remotely, tiny little bit traumatic. They used to call me the living, walking foghorn. Exactly. That used to bother me. But it's now that I've discovered that I'm called to be a pastor and a preacher and a public speaker. My foghorn voice actually comes in pretty handy. It all works together. I didn't enjoy that part of my childhood. I do love my family. Trust me, don't call a psychologist for me. But like, as in, it all plays a part of my calling. The fact that I like people, the fact that I am social, the fact that I have a loud voice, I see actually were God's assets in my life that work towards a bigger picture of who Joel Bagnell is called to be. I have a friend. His name is Chris Brown. And no, he's not the rapper or the dancer. He is the most Aussie, ochre, redneck person you've ever met. He was on staff with me and working in the youth ministry. I used to hear him say all the time, I just can't stand hanging around Christians. I'm like, bro, why are you a pastor? Why are you in a youth ministry? Oh, I just can't stand being around Christians for too long. And they just irritate me with their Christian-y stuff and their churchiness. And at first I was concerned about it, but then later we discovered, oh, wait a minute. No wonder. It's because he's an evangelist. All of it, we just gave him a new task and put him in a new area in the ministry. And all of a sudden, teenagers and people and schools, people were getting saved. Ah, oh, okay. I didn't see that before, or that was a point of tension sometimes before. But everything happening in his life, whether it made sense or not, actually worked together for a bigger purpose. All things, whether it's an enjoyable experience or not, plays a part of a bigger picture. My grandfather, I don't know, you probably haven't heard of this, but there's this big, I'm just getting rid of all my family baggage tonight. There's this big horse race in Australia called the Melbourne Cup. They call it, you know, the race that stops a nation. It literally does. If you're in school, everyone stops to, we don't understand horse racing, but we'll just watch it. The day I was born, I was born on the day of the Melbourne Cup race. The day I was born, the name of the horse that won was called What a Nuisance. So my grandfather used to love, do you know what that means? What a nuisance? A nuisance means like what a pain. Like if someone's a pain or they're annoying or they're always that person, you call them a nuisance. Anyway, so my grandfather at every family event would be like, oh, remember that Joel was born on the day that What a Nuisance won the Melbourne Cup. Anyway, now I know it's because I'm called to be a nuisance to the devil. Amen? Can I get an amen? That's right. That thing needs context. Some things might have happened in your life. There might be some experiences that you've gone through that you don't understand. You might not feel like sometimes you fit into the social circle or even the family that you were born in. Yeah. But the context matters. And that context is God's greater plan for humanity. That's because all things work together. It reminds me of the scripture in Genesis chapter 50, verses 20, where Joseph says to his brothers, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. Maybe someone who has felt like a misfit before or feel like they don't make sense where they are. Well, you know what? You might not make sense to the people where you are now, but you certainly make sense in the plan and the purpose of God. Even if the things you've been through are incredibly painful, I'm not saying that God makes painful things happen in your life to prove a point. God doesn't create pain. God uses pain. The reason why God succeeds with us is because he is able to use every good moment, every average moment, every bad moment. He is able to use everything in our life to accomplish what he wants to do. If he can use Rahab the prostitute, he can use us. If he can use a donkey to speak, he can use us. Oh, but I don't like my personality. Oh, I don't like the result I got on my Enneagram test. It's okay, Kenneth Digger. Your personality is your gift. The Bible says that you were fearfully and wonderfully made, and we are the body of Christ, and we all have a part to play in a bigger plan. That's the first thing. So all things work together. Point number two, for good. All things work together for good. Proverbs 15 verse 24 says, "The path of life leads upward for the wise. They leave the grave behind." It's quite normal. You know, we don't know what the future holds. Sometimes we can have an idea of what's happening. Well, I'm going to do university and I'll graduate and I guess I'm going to be a lawyer. You know, we can know some things about what we plan to do in the future, but we don't always really know exactly what the future holds. But no matter what, whether it works out the way we think it should or think it shouldn't, God says that it will be good. I need to overstate this. It's not that things just all work together, but they work together for good. Because God is good. And I can't have a lot of confidence in myself, but as a believer, surely I should be able to have confidence in God's goodness. I'm going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes along the way. You're going to mess up. You're going to make mistakes along the way. We don't know what global pandemic is around the corner or what's going to happen. Who even knows? But our faith is built on not a God who gets stuff done, but he is a God that gets stuff done for good. We have faith that it's going to work out good. I have heard this story so many times, but I remember, if you've heard of a church or a ministry called Planet Shakers, I remember Russell Evans tells this story all the time, how Planet Shakers started. One day God told him to start Planet Shakers, and he was like, "Okay, I'm going to start Planet Shakers. What is it?" And God apparently said to him, "You'll see." So he started going around saying, "I'm starting a ministry called Planet Shakers." And everyone's like, "What's Planet Shakers?" And he's like, "You'll see, but it's just going to be good." That's just what he would, this is what he would say. "What's Planet Shakers?" "I don't know. It's just good." "Okay, cool. Why?" "Because God's good." I'm sure if you asked Jacob, you know, around about the same time that he was thinking about moving from Colling, praying about moving from Colling to be the pastor here in Copenhagen, people might have asked him, "So Jacob, what's going to happen in Copenhagen? What are you going to do?" I bet you there was a stage where he was like, "I don't know, but it's going to be good." I had to answer some people that way when God called us to move from Australia to Europe. "What are you going to do in Europe, Joel?" "I don't know, but it's going to be good." That's faith. Faith let's this is what the Bible says about faith. Hebrews 11, chapter 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's not blind optimism. Faith is believing that God exists, but faith is actually believing that God is good too. That he loves his children, that he loves to work for the good of his children, and that he loves to reward his children when they believe in his goodness. That's what faith is. God works all things together for good. It must have been in the year, maybe the last year, but before we were leaving Australia, I took Helena on a holiday. So we live in Brisbane, which is the capital of Queensland, which is by far the most beautiful state in Australia, famous for its beaches and its tropical, the Whitsundays and great countryside, all that kind of stuff. So I decided to use all of my frequent flyer points and book a holiday to go to Cairns. Has anybody heard of Cairns before? Yeah, in the north of Queensland where the Whitsunday Islands are. And we were about to board our plane, and on Facebook, an old friend of mine wrote to me who I hadn't seen since we were in youth group together. He's like, "Hey, Joel, I saw on your Facebook, you know, because, hey, you post everything on Facebook. You know, oh, I had lunch today, great." So he's like, "I see you're coming to Cairns. I'm actually the resort, the island resort manager of Fitzroy Island Resort. And if you're on holidays in Cairns, I would love to put you on our boat and, you know, sail you out to the island and come and spend a day on the island and we'll look after you." And I'm like, "Yes, let's do that." So I gave him my details, and fair enough, he put us on the catamaran and we sailed out to the Great Barrier Reef, Fitzroy Island. And it was just a beautiful scene. Like, I just remember, I'm sorry about this, guys, because I know we can't travel anywhere now, but I just remember laying in that perfectly temperatured, crystal clear water, white sandy beach with this hilly rainforest surrounding us and coral everywhere. And he turns to me and he says, "You know, I've been following you, Joel, and I'm just so impressed. You know, like, I knew you when you were a teenager. I'm just so impressed about how good everything has worked out for you." I'm like, "Excuse me? Good? Aren't you the one who's the resort island manager of a tropical paradise and you're like living everybody's dream? I think if anything's worked out for anyone that's good, it's you, my brother." And he's like, no, seriously. Yeah, yeah, cool. We've got this resort and all this kind of stuff. But I know where you came from. I know what you struggled through. And sure, you might not have an island resort, but I can see that what you've gone for is not good just for you. It's good for the people that you serve and who you're impacting. I might be an island resort manager, and I love it when my friends come and I can give them a nice room and entertain them, but it pains me that I can't minister at the moment beyond that and do something good in the world. The point of that story is this. God works everything for good, yes, because he wants to bless you, but he wants to do good through you into people's lives to make an impact. When God blesses you, when he elevates you through the things you've struggled with, through the things that, I don't know, through everything, it's never only just good for you, it's good for the kingdom too. He's working all things together for your good and for other people's goods. There could be a few different people in this room, and I just felt as I was preparing this, maybe there's someone here who is struggling to take a step of faith and they feel a little bit paralyzed in it because you think stepping out is going to make your life a misery. Maybe it's because you've watched someone else go through pain or stepped out and it didn't seem to work. You've got to remember that these things aren't just working out, they're working out for good. God wants to do good. He wants your life to be good. Maybe you once were a radical thinker. Maybe you once were full of faith. Maybe you once were this person who had dreams and visions and you wanted to change the world and you wanted to overcome all of these things, but maybe hurt and disappointment and setback again and again and again took that sense of optimism out of you. You got to remember that God's not just running your life. He's organizing it for good. Our faith can't just be in the fact that we're going to heaven. It can't just be in the fact that, yeah, I guess things will work out one day. No, our faith is in a God who is good and wants us to experience good. If we don't believe that God won't allow good to outwork in our life, then maybe we've actually lost touch with the true nature of our loving God. The third point is this. For those who love him, all things work together for good for those who love him. This is the key that holds it all together. Luke 10 verses 27 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, mind, and strength. Do this and you will live, Jesus said. That's a question we need to ask ourselves. If we feel like our lives are overwhelmed with frustration, or if we feel like things aren't working out the way we want them to, the first place we need to come back to is, how is my heart? Have I really lost focus about what this is all about? How is our relationship with God? How is our heart position? Opportunities, solutions, open doors, that stuff, that's easy for God. In a second, God can open a door, he can bring a breakthrough, he can link you up with the right person. He can land you that job. He can do all of these things. That stuff is easy for God. Opportunities are no problem. But finding someone's heart who is fully surrendered to him, sold out for him, that is soft towards him and his voice and his leading, that's the difficult part. In the first part of 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9, it says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those hearts who are fully committed to him. Our heart is the key in all of this. I love the story of David in the Bible. You know, twice it says in the Bible that David was a man after God's own heart. That, like, David is a big deal. If you think about it, David's famous, right? We're talking about him. Like, he's still technically got his own city, right? The city of David, a section of Jerusalem. It's his emblem, the star of David, which is the logo and the emblem for a whole nation. God used David as an incredible example of what you can do in someone's life. But it wasn't success or talent. It wasn't, I don't know, someone who was willing to be famous that made him fruitful in God's eyes. It was the fact that his heart was surrendered towards him. He was a man after his own heart. I believe it's not our behavior. I believe that it's not necessarily our choices that are the root of whatever the outcomes are in our life. You know, we can talk about, let's behave well and be a good person or a good citizen, or I want to be a good decision maker, I want to be wise. Those things will help. But the very thing that dictates everything else in your life, the choices you make, all of the things you want to do, it all starts with what's in your heart. Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Does your heart hunger for God? When was the last time that we just laid ourselves down in surrender and said, you know what, I don't care about any other detail. I don't care about the to-do list. I don't care about the work, the study. I don't care about all these other things that give me value, that give me worth, or make me feel like I'm being successful. God, I want to come back to the beginning, and that is my heart, positioned towards your heart. All things work together for the good of those who love him. This is the beginning. It all flows from there. We're going to worship in a moment, but my fourth and last point is called according to his plan and purpose. 2 Timothy 1:9 says, for God saved us and called us to live a holy life. He did this not because we deserved it, but because that was his plan from before the beginning of time, to show us his grace through Jesus. All of this is just because your life matters to God. Your life matters to God. Who you are matters to God. That's good news. How you live today matters to God, because he has a plan. Because when you were created for a reason. There is a reason why you and I are here on earth. It's so cool that the band selected that song, because I love that part in the Lord's Prayer that says, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The good news of the gospel isn't just about getting us into heaven. The good news of who God is isn't just about saying, oh, okay, they messed that up, let's pull them out of there quick and get them into heaven. No, it's about us bringing the goodness of God through us as his vessels on earth and experiencing his goodness. He fixes us, transforms us, changes us every day into his goodness. I just want to pray to close this off. Father God, you know the people here, you know the hearts here at the moment who are struggling with purpose. And God, I know that that's not daunting or intimidating to you. But give us faith, give them faith to see that good can come their way. That you're not just making things work, God, but you are making things work for our good. God, for those people who feel like they've lost a sense of vision, they've lost a sense of faith, God, I pray that faith would rise tonight, that we would place our hope in you, the God who can do exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask, think, or even imagine. There would be a holy optimism, God, that would rise, that we'd be able to look beyond our everyday, our average, our calming down, our playing it cool, our playing it safe, us not getting too carried away. God, that we'd be able to look beyond that and grab a hold of a big God who's got a big plan to do good, to bless and use his children. For the people who've lost that sense of vision, God, I pray that you would fill their hearts and their lives right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, the people who've drifted from you altogether, God, help them understand that your grace is there to meet us in our time of questioning. We thank you, God, that it isn't just good news, but there's more good news for us every day because you want to be involved in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to